We appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want to thank Pastor Crocker so much for the invitation to come. And also want to welcome you all to EPO. Trust that you'll enjoy the time up here. It's a wonderful city. So we pray that you'll be blessed just in the scenery, okay, the city itself, but then, as Pastor said, also it's important to get away sometimes and to get away from your familiar surroundings, your schedule, and just take some time away, be with one another, but especially with the Lord, and look into His Word, and you have a tremendous opportunity these next few days to read God's Word, to pray, and to talk to each other about what you're reading, what you're praying about. If you come across things, you know, that are of interest to you, you have an opportunity just to come to the pastor or go to each other and just discuss these things. We really don't have a lot of time to do that in the day-to-day schedules. And so this is a tremendous opportunity, and I trust that the Lord will bless you in it. Now, I saw on the board as we were coming up, the theme is Keys to Success. Sorry. Oh, we're going to try and keep to that. But we're going to look at it from possibly a negative look. And we learn a lot through people's mistakes, or at least we should. Okay, we should learn from people's mistakes. And that's why the Lord is so brutally honest in the Word. He tells us about the victories, but He also tells us about the failures. And He helps us and teaches us. And today we're going to be looking in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at some things having to do with the first king of Israel. His name was Saul. And I trust tonight we'll be able to take some lessons from his life and measure ourselves by what we see. See if we can really gain some perspective by what he did in his life and just look at our lives and what we need to change. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. And Father, we do thank you again for your word. We thank you for this book tonight that we can read. We look at King Saul. Lord, we do pray that we would learn from his life, your working in his life. We ask you tonight for your help. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your blessed Son. We pray in his name. Amen. As I was looking at these verses, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9, I came to the conclusion, I teach in the homiletic class, the worst thing that I have to do as far as coming up with a message is getting titles. I never can really title a message, but if I had a title for this one, it would be The Man Who Would Not Learn. The man who simply would not learn. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, in verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be a captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then shalt thou find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth after you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and with a tabret, and with a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come to thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Many times when we read this passage of Scripture, we look at this and just think, oh, you know, he's been anointed king, and Samuel's just sending him along the way, and these three things or four things are going to take place. But how often do we really ask ourselves, why is he supposed to do all this? What was Samuel doing? Was he, you know, just trying to find a way to tell Saul, go home? Okay, I'm done with you. Go back home. Didn't know what to do. So these things are going to happen. But what we see here is Samuel is giving instructions to Saul. He is trying to teach Saul. He's trying to prepare Saul for the work that is ahead of him. And so he is giving him some life instructions. I see movement. It's actually pretty cool. Okay, anyone who knows me knows I'm done for tonight. Once I'm distracted, I'm gone. Yeah, my wife just said he's not kidding either. Okay, I'll try to get back on the track here. Saul has been given some life lessons, and it's important for us to take a look at what was Samuel trying to teach Saul here. He tells him, first of all, he was to go to Rachel's sepulcher. In chapter 10, verse 2, when thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin. So he's supposed to go to Rachel's sepulcher. Now, when we remember who Saul is, what tribe was he from? He's from the tribe of Benjamin. And Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. I knew that. You knew that. You can talk back to me in this. This is camp. And so he was going there to learn a lesson of heritage. He was going there to learn a lesson of humanity. He was going back to where his family began. And as he stood there at the sepulcher of Rachel, he is to learn the frailty of life. He is to learn the worth of life. And that this woman died to give birth to his family. And life means something. Family means something. He saw this not only by going there to her sepulcher, but also he received a message there at the sepulcher. in verse 2 again, he would meet two men, and they would say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth after you, saying, what shall I do for my son? So he's not only coming back to his heritage and looking at the value of life, he's also coming back and he's going to receive a message from family. And he's going to see that family is worth more than things. That he was concerned about property, but when his father was wondering what happened to my son, the property paled, didn't it? Property wasn't so important anymore. It was family that was important. And so he's learning a lesson here in humility and in heritage. We see that he was supposed to remember that as a king, he's flesh and blood. As a king, he's tied to the people. He's of the people. The next thing we see that he was supposed to do in verse 3 and 4, he was to meet believers going to Bethel. Now, what does the word Bethel mean? House of God. This is where the worship was done. This is where Jacob slept that night. This is where he made his promise to God. We find here that he is going down the road and he's meeting some men and they are going to worship. They are on their way to the house of God. And so he has learned at Rachel's sepulcher about his humanity. And now he's going to learn something about his Lord. He's going to see some men going to worship. And he is going to see they're doing two things. One is they have in their hand, Samuel is very clear what they were taking. He said they were carrying three kids, one carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. These men were going to the house of God to sacrifice. And they were taking the supply that God had provided back to God. And they were going to go and worship God and giving back to God that which he had given to them. So we see here that he is learning about worship and sacrifice. And he is also learning about supply. You notice he's on the road back home. Him and his servant are traveling, and we don't know how long it's going to take him to get home, but we see that his need was supplied. One of these men gave him two loaves of bread. Now, this bread had been set apart for the worship of God. This bread had been prepared to be taken to the house of God and is going to be given to God. But two of the loaves were set aside and they were given to him because he was the king of God's people. He was the man God had chosen, and so he is going to be given supply. And so he's learning about worship. He's learning about sacrifice and he's learning about supply. He can trust God. He can rely on God. We also see in verses 5 through 7, he is going to learn another lesson. As he's going up to verse 5, and after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou come hither to that city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp. Now this is interesting. We see that Samuel very particularly shares with him that this place is under the control of the Philistines. The army is there. The world is in control, literally. The army garrison is there. And yet the worshipers are freely praising God in the face of the world. He is learning a lesson to see that the power of the world, the Philistine soldiers, but he could still sing praises. The world cannot stop us from worshiping. The world cannot stop one from singing the praises of God. And he was seeing here the power of God. This city was controlled by the world, but the world is controlled by God. That's something that we always have to remember ourselves. And so he's learning three lessons here that are going to hold him in good stead if he is going to be a good king, if he is going to be an equitable king, if he is going to be a king that God would be pleased with. Then he was told one more thing, also very important. Samuel left him here with a open statement. These three things came to pass. This fourth thing was ongoing. He told him that in any emergency, he was to go to Gilgal in verse 8. And thou shalt go before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. Now this is an open order. In any emergency, Saul is to let it be known that he is going to Gilgal. And there he will wait for Samuel, and there Samuel will come and tell him what he is to do. He's learning through this that he will not lead the country in his own wisdom. He will not lead the country in his own power, but that he would call the people together and they would wait on the Lord. If he is going to be the king that God would have him to be, he needed to learn to wait on God. And so we find Samuel gave him these four instructions to help him prepare him to be the king that he ought to be. Now we know the story of Saul, and we know that he was not the king that he should have been. Even though he had the instructions, he was not the king. Why? Because he rejected them. He categorically rejected each one of these instructions that Samuel had given him. Each lesson taught him humility. Each lesson taught him reliance on the Lord. And he did not learn those things. We see that he very quickly forgot his heritage and he forgot humanity. He had received the message at Rachel's tomb about his father and how important family was, and how the fact that his father didn't know where he was. He was missing. And so his father was quite worried about him. And now we find he, Saul, as a father, how did he treat his son? Did he learn anything about heritage? Did he learn anything about family? No, he rejected it. In 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 26, we see that he was involved in a battle. And in verse 26, he had made a very foolish order for his troops. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. He had told them any man who ate would die. So Jonathan didn't hear that. He was not with the group. Again, verse 27, wherefore he put forth the end of his rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straitly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Now over in the same chapter in verse 43. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. What happened to his humanity? What happened to his love of heritage? What happened to his thinking of his great-great-grandmother dying as she brought a child into the earth? What happened to Saul and his feeling for family? This is his own son. His father, Saul's father, had worried and wept over him when he was simply missing. Now he's turning around and he is going to kill his son. Why? Because he embarrassed him. He made him look foolish. And so he must die. Verse 45, and the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. As the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. Isn't that a sad commentary? Who did the people rescue Jonathan from? His father. What happened to Saul? Where the people had to rescue his son from his father. We say, oh, where is the humanity? He forgot it. He rejected the lesson that Samuel had given him. He forgot his heritage. We see that he forgot his humility. As he was going and he met the men going to worship, remember, they gave him something that they had set aside to worship. What was it that they gave him? Do you remember another man getting some bread that had been set aside to worship? A young man by the name of David. In chapter 21, 1 Samuel chapter 21, in verse 6, David is at the priest location. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So David was hungry. He needed sustenance. And the priest asked him, have you kept yourself clean? He said, yes, I have. And so the priest gave David some bread. Now we find in verse chapter 22, verse 13, Saul has come, has called the priest. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and has inquired for God of him that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day? How quickly he had forgotten God's supply for him in his own life. How quickly he had forgotten, because of his jealousy, because of his just rejection of what was right, his envy of David. He had forgotten everything that was righteous. And here he is accusing this priest of conspiring against him, to the point that he has these priests killed. In verses 18 and 19, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. 85 priests. For what? For bread. For giving loaves of bread to David, which Saul had also received. We find here, he had forgotten completely his humility. He had forgotten everything there was to know about sacrifice. He had forgotten everything there was to know about supply. He had forgotten everything there was to know about worship of God. He had rejected it. The third thing we see that he had rejected in chapter 16, in verse 23, remember, he had met the priest coming down from the mountain, and they were praising the Lord. And what the scriptures say? Saul joined them and praised the Lord. Now we find that Saul has no praise for the Lord. He has rejected his praise and worship of God. In verse 23 of chapter 16, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Instead of a godly spirit and praising God, he needs the music to be played from the hand of man to soothe his conscience, to soothe his soul. He has no praise of God in him. He has categorically rejected every lesson that Samuel gave him and turned from God. And we see in chapter 13, 1 Samuel 13 and verse 6, he rejected his reliance upon the Lord. In chapter 13, 1 Samuel 13, verse 6, "When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling." We find that they had no confidence in him. They had no confidence in his faith in God. They were simply there because they had to be, and they were in great fear. Verse 8, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, 'Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings.' And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering of burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him." Saul thought everything was okay, but he forgot that Samuel told him, "Wait till I come. Wait till I come." The day was not over yet. And he did not wait. He forgot his reliance on God, and he took things into his own hands. We find that Samuel in verse 11, "And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me.'" And then, "The Philistines will come down upon me." Not us. Not Israel. "The Philistines will come down upon me." Life was about Saul. He had gotten to where he had forgotten every lesson that Samuel had instructed him. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 16. 1 Samuel 15, verse 16. "Then Samuel said unto Saul, 'Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night.' And he said unto him, 'Say on.' And Samuel said," what did Samuel say? Who can read that out? What did Samuel say? I heard a few. Say it out louder. Let's hear congregational. What did he say? When thou was little in thine own sight. But he had forgotten. See, in the beginning he was. In the beginning he truly was little in his own sight. He did not think he could do it. When they were going to anoint him, he hid. He truly was little in his own sight. But as he went day by day as king, he began to grow in his own sight. He began to grow in his own self-importance. And he forgot the lessons that Samuel had taught him that were vital in a leader. These lessons must be instilled in a leader if he is going to please God. If not, they will lead, the rejection of these lessons will lead to self-destruction. And this is exactly what happened. I ask you today, or tonight, are you little in your own sight? Have you learned the lessons that Samuel told Saul to learn? Tonight, if you spend some time in examining your life, what would you think of your humanity? Do you have compassion? Do you have care? Do you have sympathy? Do you have empathy where you can actually feel the hurt or feel the joy of others? Paul was writing to the church in Rome and he said, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Do you know it's easier to weep with those that weep than it is to rejoice with those that rejoice? Isn't it? Somebody comes driving up and said, man, I just got to look at my brand new BMW 7 Series. You jerk. Oh, yeah, that's really nice. But in your heart, you're not rejoicing with them. Where is our humanity? We forget. We forget what is important in life. And it's others. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and others. He forgot his humanity. We find that he forgot his humility. Do you have humility today? Do you appreciate the opportunity to kneel before the Lord? Do we truly worship the Lord? Worshiping the Lord is 24 hours a day. It's not just on Sunday or Bible study time. Worshiping the Lord is 24 hours a day. Do we truly have that worship of the Lord, the humility? Do you have the praise of the Lord? Do you find yourselves just doing something, just singing, victory in Jesus? You know, just singing hymns and praises and songs. Or do we sing, swing low, sweet chariot, coming, Lord, to carry me home? You know, just sad, sad songs. I'm dying, Lord, I'm dying, help me. Do we have praise for the Lord? Or is everything just negative? Are all of our prayers just, I want, I want, I want, I want? Or do we have praise? Thank you, Lord, for who you are. You're high and lifted up. When is the last time that we ever looked up to the throne of God and saw, as Isaiah said, him high and lifted up and his train filling the temple? When is the last time we ever just gloried in the Lord in our hearts, rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in our salvation? are we waiting on the Lord? Are you where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, doing what you're supposed to do? That was Saul's problem. Are you where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do, being what you're supposed to be? Can we measure ourselves by these truths tonight? I pray tonight that we'll look at Saul's rejection of truth and his self-destruction, and that tonight that would scare us. That as I looked at these verses, I said, I don't want to be like that. Lord, I do not want to end up like that. I do not want to have this kind of testimony in my life. Lord, help me not to forget your lessons. Tonight, I ask you just to take time, not just during the prayer here, but take time throughout. Talk to each other, pray for each other, encourage each other in being what God would have us to be. Paul wrote, we'll end with this verse, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. How can I do this, Lord? How can I be what you want me to be? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves. It's something that you have to do. It's between you and God. That ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. How do I do that, Lord? How do I do that? By being transformed. And be ye transformed, not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? Right here. Right here. How do I renew my mind? Right here. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask you that you...